Looking for something smart, soulful, and full of heart? I'm Jen Hatmaker, host of For the Love, the podcast where we talk about what really matters, love and family, faith and purpose. Every week, I'm joined by incredible guests for honest conversations that invite all of us to live with more intention, more laughter, and more connection. Join us on For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and the host of the Jill on Money podcast. Beginning, middle, or end of the year, it's always a great time to take control of your financial life. And the Jill on Money podcast is here to help. Your questions make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money and, more importantly, on your life. Follow and listen to Jill on Money wherever you get your podcasts.
Jesse Newell with us from the Kansas City Star, their Chiefs beat writer. Jesse, welcome. How are you today?
Good. Yeah, bowling for soup is me and Jeff, not you, Bob. That's our lane right there.
I can't relate, but hey, I try.
Put some more respect on their name, though, when you say it. Bowling for soup.
I mean, they got bowling some bangers, you know, 1979, Stella. They got some good ones. You can go back in the, Spotify and find them, yeah.
Almost.
I'll be all over it. I'm going to delve in.
Oh, I can tell right away you
Chiefs.
Are, Bob. Yeah.
let's talk some Chiefs. They are unbeaten, 5-0. They're just coming off a bye week. They play late Sunday afternoon against the 49ers in San Francisco. This is such an interesting NFL season so far because while the Chiefs are the only unbeaten team remaining in the AFC, I think there's a lot of pretty good teams in the AFC, and it's hard for me to get a clear-cut picture of who I deem to be the favorite. I guess you have to pick the Chiefs coming off two Super Bowl wins, but it's pretty interesting, is it not?
It is, and I think you pick the Chiefs, too, because they've won these games early, that especially the Ravens game, that's going to come down and probably make a tiebreaker for them, you know, and the one seed is such an advantage. You get to play all your games at home, and you get the bye week that nobody else does. And, you know, we know the Chiefs overcame that last year and still beat everybody on the road, but it's just tougher to do. I mean, if you keep having coin flip type games, you know, odds are you might lose one, and you might not make it to the place you want to make it to. But, yeah, this is a great test for the Chiefs. I mean, their schedule actually lightens up after this, but San Francisco is about as tough of a game as they could find in the NFL. I mean, you see it from the Vegas odds. The Chiefs are actually a small underdog in this game, just like they were in the Super Bowl against the 49ers. So this should be a good one. And like I said, you would probably pick the Chiefs at this point, but this is sort of set up, even with the 49ers dropping a couple games, it's going to be one of the games of the season in the NFL, I would think. It could be another Super Bowl preview and definitely a Super Bowl review. So this should be a good one. And obviously, I think a lot of people would be looking forward to it.
Yeah, so speaking of Vegas odds, Patrick Mahomes is the betting favorite for MVP in a lot of places. FanDuel has him as that. I guess just the question is why. It can't be based on his current performance. It has to be based on what they believe and think he'll do, and he's given every reason to think that he can get back potentially because he wins Super Bowls all the time. So is it that, or is it fair to expect Patrick Mahomes to get to that level?
Yeah, it is interesting. I was going over his stats. I just had it in the story yesterday talking about the Chiefs left tackle. How he seems to kind of – Mahomes has had some happy feet, you know, in the pocket because he can't feel comfortable. And he's averaging 242 passing yards per game this year. He has 6 touchdowns and 6 interceptions. And as you said, I mean, he's the MVP favorite right now in the betting markets. I have to think that's a narrative-based thought. You know what I mean? And by saying that, I'm meaning two things. For one, he was nobody's MVP bout last year and then just was perfect almost with the playoffs and led them to a Super Bowl. And all the offseason content was, how did anybody doubt Mahomes? Why would you doubt Mahomes? All those sorts of things. And nobody wants to be wrong again about him. You know what I mean? I figure he's going to turn around. And then the second thing is the narrative for this is, I mean, even look today, like Aaron Rodgers gets Devontae Adams, you know, an extra weapon for him out there when he already had, you know, other guys that are able to catch and be good on the outside. Alan Lazard, who's always been with him. Garrett Wilson, who's, you know, one of the up-and-coming receivers. Mahomes, you look around and you go, well, he's got Kareem Hunt, who was released by the Cleveland Browns, and he's got Juju Smith-Schuster, who the Patriots paid $7 million to go away, and he's got Carson Steele, who, you know, fumbles about once a game and is a rookie, and he's got Mecole Hardman, who the Jets, you know, couldn't get rid of quick enough last year in a trade. And so, again, the narrative part of this is that Mahomes is doing more with less, and they remain undefeated. But to your point, Jeff, I mean, I think you're watching the, if you're watching these games, if you're a Chiefs fan and watching these games, you'd be the first to admit that, like, Mahomes does not look like himself this year. Like, he has not played to the level that they expect him to play. So I do think there is a disconnect there to be like, hey, this guy is the MVP favorite. He's playing that way. I don't think that at all. I just sort of think it's people in my position probably that are going to vote on this thing that might be a little bit concerned that they're going to be proven wrong again in the playoffs, and the thought that, hey, he's going to do more with less because the pieces around him are a little bit, you know, depleted without Rashee Rice, without Isaiah Pacheco, you know, without Hollywood Brown in there. So it is a fascinating thing. I was just looking up those odds the other day as well, and I was surprised that he was still the favorite. But I do think that the human part of this is very much playing into that, and the fact that people still believe that he's going to be better the rest of the season, even with the limited pieces that he has around him.
Jesse Newell, our guest, covers the Chiefs for the Kansas City Star. I think he did look a little more like Patrick Mahomes in the win over New Orleans, although no touchdown passes. But one thing I look at with Mahomes, how is he able to spread the ball around? And he had eight different receivers in that game. The leading receiver, as you alluded to, Juju Smith-Schuster, and the leading rusher, Kareem Hunt. That's what's amazing about this team, and it just feels like everything they do and everyone they bring in, even when we all question it, it seems to work out. And then, secondly, Jesse, I wanted to mention the defense, because we talk about Mahomes, we talk about all these other offensive personnel. This is the best Chiefs defense in a while, isn't it?
Well, not only that, I mean, what they were not very good at. I mean, I've been on the beat now 3 years with the Chiefs. That first year, they couldn't stop anybody against the run. You know what I mean? Like, every week, it was like sort of praying that Mahomes could get a lead so that the other team wouldn't run the ball, because any team that wanted to run the ball could. I mean, you go up and down the line, like, Derrick Henry is on pace to you know, have the most rushing yards of anybody, and the Chiefs shut him down week one. You know, Alvin Kamara had four touchdowns in a game earlier this year. Chiefs shut him down last week. You know, like, any running back who comes to Arrowhead or is playing the Chiefs, you know, Bijan Robinson and Tyler Algier didn't do much in the Atlanta Falcons game. That has become a real strength for them. And whether you want to credit Chris Jones, who was tearing up people up front, you know, Nick Bolton flowing as a linebacker, Leo Chanel, who's kind of an underappreciated guy at the linebacker, they've turned that into a real strength. I still think they have some coverage issues, especially in the middle. I don't think Drew Tranquil has played as well as he can play, especially in past seasons in coverage. It leaves a little bit of an opening there, kind of in the intermediate. But, man, I mean, this is sort of – I think all these things you just talked about, Bob, is kind of like what you don't talk about very much when you have a good coaching staff, which is they develop their players. The guys that are young become good players, like Trent McDuffie's a star for the Chiefs now. Jalen Watson, you know, emerges as the cornerback too and has played great the last 2 weeks. And then – when they bring in guys, it always works. Like, if I kind of mentioned this before, but like, if you are the Patriots owner, what are you thinking right now? Like, if you were basically begged by your GM to pay $7 million to make Juju Smith-Schuster go away, and then on Monday Night Football, he catches 130 yards for the best team in football. Like, don't you bring your GM into the office going, wait, what's going on here? Like, okay, why can this guy go produce on the biggest stage for the best team, and I had to pay $7 million to make him go away? We couldn't figure out what to do with him here. And so there's just so many benefits over and over of a good coaching staff, whether it's young secondary guys for the Chiefs continually getting better and always getting better, and that way when their guys get expensive, they can move on. Legarius Sneed moves on from Tennessee. We're not talking about Legarius Sneed, are we? We're not really, because he's not played well at Tennessee, and instead Jalen Watson's playing well for the Chiefs. They always have this kind of system in place where they have guys getting better, and then anybody they sign that they bring into the loop that has played for the team before, they have this constant, you know, system of guys coming in and rejuvenating their careers, whether it's Kareem Hunt or Juju Smith-Schuster or Mecole Hardman. So it's a really, really good thing to have. And I think you just, this is one of those weeks you really do have to give your flowers to the coaching staff, whether it's Matt Nagy, the offensive coordinator, Andy Reid, Joe Blamire, the passing game coordinator. I mean, they are making things work and maximizing guys, and that's about all you can ask from a coaching staff.
Yeah, I wanted to go back to the offensive personnel a little bit, and obviously you never want anybody to be injured, especially long term, like a lot of the Chiefs guys are. But is there a silver lining in that it allows Mahomes to spread it around a little bit more? He's always been successful doing that. And long term, do you think that is the play, or when they get into games with Buffalo and Baltimore and Houston, perhaps in the postseason, will they need to have kind of a focal point of the offense?
So I think Mahomes is really good at playing chameleon. And what I mean by that is his first year starting the league, he was the second in the NFL in average depth of target, how far his average pass sailed downfield. Last year, he was second lowest in the NFL. This year, he's either lowest or second lowest in the NFL. He's become like Tom Brady. You know what I mean? Like, they don't have the pieces. They don't have the downfield threats. So he plays within the scheme of the offense. And I think that's what Andy Reid and Matt Nagy are so good at scheming up, is they are all about space. I mean, they're kind of like the Warriors are in the basketball. You know, they're that in the NFL, where they're like, we want to open up guys where they are so wide open that it's easy to distinguish and find those guys. As long as you have the answers to the test, you can throw it to Noah Gray, but he's going to be wide open, and he can gain 18 yards just as well as any backup tight end can gain 18 yards, because you're just not putting the ball in danger, and he is in a space because Travis Kelce is taking up this safety, because McCormick's taking up this guy in the perimeter. So I think they are really good at this. Now, is it what you want with Patrick Mahomes? I mean, probably not. Like, you probably want him to be able to use up all of his abilities, use his deep ball throwing, use his ability to read downfield. But, I mean, that's just not what the Chiefs can do right now, because what we talked about, the personnel is a little bit limited. So I still think they're going to go get a receiver. I mean, we've seen a bunch of trades happen today in the NFL. Amari Cooper, went to a different place, Devontae Adams. I still think the Chiefs will be in the market to get a guy. They've done that the last 2 years, whether it was Kadarius Toney or Mecole Hardman. I think they'll be in the market for that. But when that doesn't work, I think, to your point, Jeff, I mean, they have found a way. There was a next-gen stat last week that Patrick Mahomes had zero tight window throws against the Saints. I mean, he just took what was there, made mostly short passes, and he threw for a bunch of yards, and the Chiefs' offense was successful. So it is one of those, if it's not broken, you don't necessarily want to fix it, but I do think they would love to add just a little bit more talent to that room, just to say, okay, if you can get Patrick Mahomes working on 90% capacity instead of 70% capacity, how much further can this offense go? But he's pretty good at 70% too, and that's what we've seen in the Saints game, is that if they can nickel and dime their way, they'll find a way, and that's what we saw from the Chiefs this past game.
It's remarkable. It's a remarkable franchise. I mean, if you'd have told me they wouldn't have Pacheco, Rice, and Hollywood Brown, and they'd be 5-0 and Super Bowl favorites, I don't know. It's just kind of hard to explain, but you do a great job of explaining it. Thank you, Jesse.
All right. Appreciate it, guys.
What's up, little psychos? I'm Investigator Slater, host of the Psychopedia podcast. Psychopedia is a true crime podcast delivering raw, real, and absolutely gripping episodes every single week. I dig deep to uncover fascinating details of heinous true crime cases while exploring criminology and psychology theories. I take you into the absolute darkest corners of the human psyche, my favorite territory, and present cases like you've never heard them before. Follow and listen to Psychopedia everywhere you get your podcasts.